He really is. And, you know, this morning I want to look at a foundation of trusting God. Let's start off this morning. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. This is a verse that many of us have read. It's really a foundational verse in our walk with God. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Last several messages have been talking about God changing us, God renewing our soul, transforming our soul, which is our mind and our will and emotions. And sometimes that stuff, there's a lot to that stuff. How many here went home thinking about renewing your will last week? I did, because there was a lot in there. And you know, when we look at things like that, they're so important. And sometimes we can even think they're heavy, because when we hear different messages at times, we begin to think, boy, do I fall short. Does anybody ever think that? Man, I'm not even on the right path. But now here's the reality, is that when we come and we get ready to have what is done here, we pray and just ask God. But you know who the one who really ministers to us is? The Holy Spirit. Because I could preach a message about one thing, and you could hear a message about something totally different. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us in all truth. That's God's Spirit. And so he begins to speak and touch our heart. And I want to encourage you that when God begins to touch your heart in a certain area, even if you feel like you might be falling short in it, the only reason God talks to you is because he's ready and willing to help you get there. He wants you to overcome. Amen? How many? Our God is an overcomer. He wants us to overcome. He doesn't want us to be the tail, but he wants us to be the head. So as we do that, I'm going to look a little bit at put that slide up for me, would you, Todd or John? God's word many times is built precept upon precept. There's a foundation of things that we grow in. And this is just to help me in my thinking, and I don't know about you, but stuff like that does. And see, as salvation is where we start, and that's when we come and we accept Christ as our Savior. We're born again. And we come into the new life of Christ. And then after we do that, we come into a relationship with God. We really begin to know God. We begin to walk with him. We begin to experience God. We begin to find out how much God loves us. We begin to find out how much we love God, and we begin to trust God. There's something in there where we begin to build that relationship of trust. And then on top of that, the next phase is the renewal phase, where we begin to walk with God more in depth. Now I know God, now I love God, now I trust God, and as I'm growing, all of a sudden God begins to bring me in this place that say, hey, I want to transform your soul. I want to take out some of that junk that's holding you back. I want to bring you into my full blessing. I want you to know my blessing. I want you to live in my peace. I want you to know my righteousness. I want you to know my joy. And so he begins to work in our lives and bring us into a depth. And then as he does that, then we come into the place where we come into purpose, where as God is transforming us, he begins to transform us into what he has us to be. As he transformed my mind, my will, my emotions, then I begin to find out, hey, I have a purpose here on earth. I am here for a reason. And we begin to find out that listen, as we look around the church here, there are so many different parts of his body in this church. There are some who, and here's the thing, what I love about stuff being like the hearing God deal, there's some people who can hear him so much clearer at times, but sometimes they're made that way. Sometimes other people are made a different way. Sometimes other people are meant to pick up on other things and do. Listen, we're all different parts of the same body, and we operate different ways, and I'm telling you, when you find out where you belong, you begin to be something. Amen? There's something about it. When you begin to find out, this is who I am. Not everybody is a preacher. Thank goodness. There's no amens out there. Aren't you glad that everybody isn't a preacher? I am. The only reason I'm one is because that's what he told me. That's what he made me. And outside of that, there's no way I'd pursue that. Not everybody's a musician. Thank goodness not everybody thinks they're a musician. Praise God. You know how hard that'd be if everybody thought they could sing even? Honestly, some of us have different gifts and abilities. Some of us have the ability to the ability of hospitality. Some of us have the ability of mercy. Listen, these are important things. But when I find out who God has me be, then all of a sudden I begin to whatever it is, it like fits on me like a glove, and I begin to say, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. And so it builds step after step, and the several weeks we've been talking about the renewal part, and instead of going the next phase up, I want to go back one step for a reason, because I want to go back to the second one on relationship, and I want to talk about trusting God. Because the truth is, if I can learn and begin to develop my trust in God, the next step isn't hard. When I trust God, it's not hard to change when God says, hey, I'm going to change something. I'm like, well, hey, I trust you. I'll change. I'm ready. It's not hard to let God renew my mind, my will, my emotions when my trust in him is solid. Amen? But when I don't trust him, I don't. And so I'm going to talk about that today. Now, that word trust that I read in that verse in Proverbs 3, it means, in the original language, it means to be bold, confident, carefree, and it means to have hope. So when I trust God, it looks like I'm being bold and confident, and I hope, and I'm really carefree about it. I want to explain that for a minute, because there's some things about trust that are so important. It's not something that we can just work up. Trust and faith are related, but they're not exactly the same. There's a part that you cannot really walk in true faith without trusting God. See, trust is more of a foundation, and that's why I called it the foundation of trusting God. There's a place that as I trust him, then I can have faith. As I trust him, then I can do these things. But if I don't trust him, it holds me back. It keeps me back. It keeps me where I'm afraid, where I'm not sure, where I end up being confused or frustrated or just not knowing what to do. And God is wanting us to really come into the place of knowing just how to trust him. Listen, knowing how to trust him means more than having great plans and great ideas. Knowing how to trust him means more than how strong you think you are. It means more than all these things. So today I'm going to talk a couple things about trusting God. And the first one is trusting God is having a right heart. Here's a couple verses I want to read to start off with. In Psalms chapter 62 and verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is your refuge. Selah. Listen, when we trust him, we pour our hearts out before him. Listen, you see how your trust and your heart go hand in hand? Psalm 62 and 10 says, do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Again, we find that trust and our heart are tied. It says, don't trust oppression or robbery. And if you do have increases in riches, don't set your heart on them. What he's saying, your heart and your trust are tied, whether it's for God or it's for something else. Psalm 64 and verse 10, it says, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and the upright in heart shall glory in him. The righteous will trust in him, the upright will what? Glory in heart. And then the one we learned in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, having the right heart with God goes hand in hand. If you really begin to trust somebody, it's because, in a way, they have your heart. I want us to understand how that works. When some of you, you younger ones, you might be in it right now. Some of you more mature, I was told I had to stop using the word old, more mature, remember the days when you were dating and you were engaged and, oh my, you know, you gave your heart to that person. In fact, you trusted what they said at that moment more than you did anybody else, probably. In fact, they knew more than everybody. You had to trust them. There was a heart. Listen, there's something about that. And here's the truth, and we got to look at this in a real way, is that a lot of times, if I'm wrestling trusting God, it's because my heart is somewhere else besides God. Well, I'm having a hard time trusting him. That's because my heart is over here, doing what it wants to do. Well, I want God, but my heart is really about a lifestyle that I love more than God. Well, then you're having a hard time trusting him. Listen, this is just a reality. I want us to understand this, that it's not about anything else. It's about that part. Do I trust him? And if I trust him, my heart is tied to him. And if my heart is tied to him, I trust him. Trust is a heart issue. Here's something. How many know that in the Word it talks about things, and I'm going to use a couple examples here. Everybody's like, oh, I love it when he uses examples. I met this cute boy or cute girl. They don't love Jesus at all, but I think they're the one. How many know that's not really scriptural? How many people have done that? More than haven't, I think. There isn't a woman in the world who doesn't think they can fix a man at the beginning. Amen. Towards the middle, they're like, I'm not sure. And at the end, they're like, just let him be. But it starts off, well, I can fix him. I can win him. Here's what the Bible says. Don't be unequally yoked. What's it talking about? Is that if you believe in Jesus and walk with him, why would you date someone who believes in the enemy and walks with him? They don't go together. They don't click. And the next thing you know, you're married to someone who don't want to go to church, who thinks what you're doing is funny. And I watch so many people wrestle with that deal. Listen, what happens is that they get in a place where they see someone and all of a sudden their heart is tied to that person. Oh, they're so cute. Just the way they smile. You remember those days of puppy love? And you watch a new couple in it makes you sick now because you're like, makes me sick. Oh, get over it. Someone pour a bucket of cold water on you. You know, you get that kind of thing. Why do you think it's sick? Because you remember when you look like that and you're like, oh, I feel sick even thinking about those years. When reality set in, it wasn't those puppy eyes no more. It came down to making choices and having to grow. So, where our heart is, if our heart's right, we'll trust him. Anytime I'm wrestling, trusting God, when God says something, it's because my heart is on something, some other person or some other situation instead of God. This is a hard truth. I'm wrestling, trusting. Why? Because your heart's not on God. Your heart's on something else. Ouch. Listen, understand what trust is. This is trust. Where your heart is, your treasures will be. Where your treasures is, your heart will be. They're tied together. It just kind of all runs together that way. The second thing when you trusting God is humbling yourself. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Listen, there's a place when that understanding means knowledge, it means wisdom, it means experience, it means everything you know. That word lean means a couple things. It means to rely, to rest, to stay. And so when it says lean not, what it's saying is don't rely on your knowledge, your experience, and your understanding. This is hard to do because we operate that way almost every day on what we know. And what God is saying is that when you walk with me, I'm pulling you out of what you know in this world and I'm bringing you into a new spiritual life. Now you can have spiritual life, and instead of counting on what you know, I want you to know what I know. I want you to rely on me, not what you know. How many, when you look through your life, you find out some of the biggest breakthroughs you've had in your spiritual life is when you stop trusting yourself and believe what God said, and he said something that you would never say almost every time. When I got saved, I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm telling you, there's something in that deal that when I walked through that place and said, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I give my life to you. When I walked into that place, listen, the demon's thinking was, I'm not doing that. I grew up Assembly God kid. And my thinking was, I'm going to live crazy and wild, and before I die, I can say a prayer, make sure I make it into heaven. You know, well, that was just my thinking. You know, and I can live crazy and wild and nuts now, and then my mom and dad will be praying for me. I'll get there. That really doesn't work very well, by the way. And that's not God's plan. But when I gave my heart to him, what happened is that I had to lay down everything I know and say, God, I don't even have any answers. I give my life to you. I don't know. My experience sucks. My life sucks. My everything is in a mess. I want you. See, there's a place where we can't rely on ourselves, and that the other part of that word rely means to stay. And so what it's saying, lean not, is stay not. So not only do we not count on our old knowledge, but we can't live and listen, you cannot serve God based on what you just know. You cannot, and some people do, and I know there's places, and there are some people that their whole Christian life, they serve God just based on their understanding, just based on everything. And I'm telling you, if you're going to walk with God time and time again, he's going to take you outside of what you know and say, hey, come follow me this way. Well, I haven't been this way. He's like, well, good, because I want you walking with me. We've already seen what you walk. Let's walk with me. And God's path is not my path. My path is horrible. And what happens again and again is God takes me outside of my thinking to show me who he is. See here, God is so big, and his ways are so far above us that even our wisdom isn't even close to his foolishness. God's ways are not our ways, is what the Bible says. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Understand that with trusting him has a lot to do with stepping outside of what we know, outside of what we can figure out. Listen, if you're in a place and you've got it all figured out, I don't know about you, but I've done this more times than I should have, and more I feel God cautioning me at times. Don't plan everything out. You know why? Because usually I'm disappointed because I'm wrong. That's just how it works. For instance, as we're going to North Dakota, there's some neat things happening. I mean, I'm not telling the whole story right now. There's more and more stuff happening all the time. God's getting some things ready. I'm excited. But at the same time, here's what I know. I can't just put it in a little box and say, here's exactly what God's doing. Why? Because God is doing this, and I'm after him. And I want to be in a place where I'm trusting him. If I begin to put a label on it, say, this has to be this, what am I doing? I'm operating in what I know. It's my knowledge, my experience. In my experience, here's how we build a church. I don't want to build a church in my experience. I ain't after my experience. And there's a place where we have to get outside of it into a place, God, what do you want to do? Listen, God will do some crazy things at times. He'll do some wild things. Jesus, just look at his life. It was just crazy. Now, if you were going to raise a man from the dead, wouldn't you do it in private? I would, just because I wouldn't be sure. But he sees a funeral going down the road, and he's like, I perceive that woman needs her boy back. And it happened. He's like, what? Or Jesus, there's a blind man, he needs to see, and Jesus said, here, I can fix you. Spits in the dirt and rubs it in his eyes. Come on now. Who would think of that? Maybe God's ways aren't really our ways. Maybe it's not about us having everything in a nice little box with a bow on it. Maybe it's about trusting him, God, whatever you say. God, whatever you want to do, I'm okay with that. I trust you. We have to be believing and relying in God outside of what we can even explain at times. Listen, it takes humbling ourselves and not leaning on our own strength. Listen, and that's a part of humbling, is there somewhere where we got to say, it's not about me. If you say that every day, it will help you in your Christian walk. It's not about me. It's about Christ and his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I'm part of his will, which is awesome. I'm more than I know, I think. And that's great, but there's somewhere in there where I have to be willing to humble myself and say, God, what do you want? Here's a deal. In fact, on the bulletin that we handed out today, on the back of it, I put this quote on there, but I want to read it this morning. It was by Charles Spurgeon. He was a great preacher and orator, actually. There's books and books where he's written things, and this guy has a way with words and understanding, and I'm going to read it, and if it sounds like it's a little dated, it is. It says, Christians, if you know the path of duty, take God for your compass. If you would steer the ship through dark billows, put the tiller into the hand of the Almighty. Many a rocks might be escaped if we would let the Father take the helm. Many a skull and quicksand might be well avoided if we would leave to his sovereign will to choose and to command. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go, is the Father's promise to his people. Let us then take all our perplexities to him and say, Lord, What will you have me do? Leave not your chamber this morning until you inquire of the Lord. It's written by Charles Spurgeon. How many problems will we avoid if we just let him be in charge? That trusting part. It ain't about what I know. It ain't about my experience. It's not about what I think. It's about somewhere I'm getting in that place. I'm trusting you. God, what do you say? What do you have? What do you want me to do? Like I always says it in there. The third part about trusting God is walking with the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Excuse me. That ways in the original means mode of operation. And the word acknowledge means to ascertain or to learn by watching. And really, this is what Jesus did. In fact, when you look at the verse in John 5 and verse 19, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son does nothing of himself, but what he sees his Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Listen, there's something about that when we stop in our mode of operation. Everything Jesus did, he did by watching the Father. Why did Jesus walk in such faith? Because he trusted the Father. There was a trust there. There's no part of you that you could convince Jesus not to trust the Father. And so what he did is he looked at him, and here's what happens is that in every mode of operation in our life, we need to take time and acknowledge him. And acknowledge him means, well, how would you handle this? What would Jesus do? Bracelet that used to be really fashionable some years back now. It's kind of that precept, but in a much more sovereign way, in a much more respectful way. Because in the middle of things where I'm in the middle of a place where my kids or spouse are getting on my nerve, and I'm in the middle of this place of, and this is just part of life, of all these things going on, somewhere instead of falling into my regular mode of operation, I need to stop and look at him and say, how are you doing this? Let me see what you would do. How would you handle this? Listen, there's something powerful about this. It'll change the way you live, but it's really has a lot to do with trusting him. A lot of times what we do is we trust our own emotions. Well, I'm mad now. I always find it funny when people say that. Well, they made me mad. What is there, a magic button someone pushes on you? Makes you mad? You have no choice. They just touch it and you have no control over your life no more? You're a puppet? No, you're your own free moral agent. What does that mean? That means you have control over you. No one makes me mad. I choose to be mad. And when I hit that place, I can either fall into my regular mode of operation, but I'm telling you, if I'm really trusting God and walking with him, instead of looking to myself for the answer, which is the wrong way we learned in the beginning, I begin to look to him and say, God, how would you handle this? What would you do? How would you handle this person? And listen, we do this so much. Many times when I look at my life, I run in my mode of operation. Here's how I operate. And when someone crosses that boundary, here's how I respond. When someone crosses that boundary, here's another way I respond. Instead of just asking him. See, I had a deal about 3 weeks ago maybe. I was at a coffee shop. I was on a trip for wrestling, and they go all day. They're so long. And so I'll go to a coffee shop a lot of times, and every little town, I know all the coffee shops pretty good. I have a booth in a couple of them. I'll just get a coffee. I'll bring my computer, you know. And so I was doing stuff, and I was working on things for church, and I was working on things for North Dakota, and I was looking at some pictures of eagles on my screen, because part of the church name and the ministry thing up there is going to be Eagle's Wings. And so I was looking at some pictures, and here comes this lady, and she's seen it, and so she came over and decided to talk, and within a couple seconds, I could tell this woman was from the hippie era, and that she still lived in it. And there's a part of me that's like, oh. And it's like, okay, now we're talking about flowers and raindrops. Here we go. And so I begin to go into my regular mode of operation, and I felt the check in my spirit, and I'm like, what? And she began to talk about, oh, yeah, we all kind of believe in God. And yeah, we all do our own way. And she's almost starting to act like she was high. Whoa. And she began to do that. And I was like, oh. But I felt that check. And I'm like, what's going on, God? God's like, I love her. Why would you blow her off? It's like, ooh. It's like, dang. It's like, well, so I end up talking. This lady took an hour and a half of my life. But now here's the thing. That's the way I, now this is my mode of operation. She took an hour and a half of my life. I'll never get back. But here's what happened. Is somewhere in that deal, I've been looking at him, and now her mouth is moving, and I was just asking him, I'm like, well, how would you handle this? He's like, she really needs some answers. She needs some truth. And listen, I went through the gospel message from the beginning of Genesis all the way through the Bible. I should have recorded it. It was wonderful. I didn't have to study. It just like came. It was just everything she had. I began to walk her through how Jesus became the better sacrifice, how we move away from that, how that there's no way except through him because he's the Lamb who's slain. And it just flowed so wonderfully. And as I was talking in the coffee shop, all the other tables stopped talking. They were drinking their coffee and they're going like this. I had an audience for an hour and a half, and I was using my inside voice. So it wasn't that. I checked a couple times because I can get excited and my voice gets going, you know, but I was checking. And most sermons have to use their inside voice. But anyways, I began to walk her through it. And what happened is that she began to put together, I watched her at the end begin to put together the truth of Jesus. And she says, you know, when I get back, because she's from Phoenix. And so we were talking about all kinds of stuff. And so she said, when I get back, I really need to probably be part of a church and start looking at some of this. I said, you know, here's the thing. Jesus loves you so much, he died for you. That he could know you, it'd be a great time to get to know him more and more. And so she walked away. It was a great, you know, I was really refreshed after that. I mean, but at the beginning, I was like, I'm losing this time. At the end, I was like, man, hey, what would it look like in our life if we trusted him with all the different areas of our life instead of doing what we would usually do? Oh, I'm tired. Oh, boo-hoo. I'm going to tell you what. You can be tired until you die, okay? This body's made to be tired. You have to sleep. When you have the new body, you don't sleep in the new body. You don't have to eat in the new body. We get to, for fun, which I kind of like that idea, but we don't have to. Why? Because it's a glorified body. You know? And it's there's a greatness of the new body that isn't, listen, this body here is going to die and we're going to bury it one day and it'll be gone. But we'll have a new body. This body will be tired at times. Who cares? Honestly, your body will be sick at times. Who cares? It's just part of life. And somewhere in that deal, instead of doing this thing about, well, what should I do? Well, I'm sick. You ever see that? There used to be a song that used to say, the whole family stayed home to wipe Junior's nose. Yeah. One kid saying, oh, we got to stay home. Oh, for crying out loud. Have you ever just asked God? I've asked God when I'm sick about going to church. And a couple times he's told me, you have to be there. And when I went, guess what? I found a refreshing in God that I didn't know any other time in my life. What happened? Instead of doing what I felt like, which is a soul, what I felt like doing, what I wanted to do, how I felt, what I reasoned in my mind, well, according to the latest doctor's things, if blah, blah, blah. Instead of doing that, say, God, what do you think? You know, sometimes God will say, you're okay. I've had God say, you're fine, plenty of times. I say, God, should I do that? And he's like, if you want to, it's up to you. It doesn't matter. But here's the thing, is somewhere, if we're trusting him, that trusting him has to do where I begin to stop doing what the way I do things every day, and I begin to look at him and say, God, how would you handle this? How would you deal with this difficult person? How would you deal with this thing that I'm wrestling with? Instead of walking around being depressed, being upset, being frustrated, being aggravated, beginning in this place of negativity and complaining all the time, instead of being in that place, say, God, what would you do about it? And begin to trust him instead of just trying to do it yourself. Man, if we just get to trust him. Too many times, I think we operate in our own, we become our own source. And trusting him is not being our own source. Trusting him is saying, hey, I'm trusting God. Amen? There's something to it that's it's so crucial to begin to understand. Sometimes a lot of people say, well, I trust God, but I want to talk about the reality and the foundation of trust. Now, excuse me. The next one is seeing God work despite your limitations. This is a part of trusting God. In fact, if you're trusting God, you will experience this because this is part of it. It's just not a benefit of it, it's part of it. In Proverbs 3 and verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. What he does in directing your path, the word path means road or race or path. The word direct means to make right. I want you to understand it because I'm getting it. To make right, to make pleasant, to make prosperous. Listen, God's part of trusting him is that your path will begin to become right. It'll begin to become pleasant and it'll begin to become prosperous. Now, here's the thing. It's not so much where God comes along, and this is the way we like it. Okay, God, give me a blueprint. Give me a step one and step two and step three. That's not what it's talking about at all. What it's talking about is that when you trust him, when your heart's with him, he'll use you, and in spite of your limitations, he will begin to make your path right. He will begin to make your path righteous. He will begin to make your path pleasant. He'll begin to make it into a place. Listen, I have seen some people today who know Jesus only because I threatened to take him outside and beat him up. There's no doctrine in the Bible that says that. But it's all I had, wasn't it, Glenn? Glenn was like, Glenn watched me when I was younger, and he's like, we need to talk. A lot of those times, we need to talk. They put me as a young leader in a room full of older ministers, and we started talking, and all of a sudden I start firing off a direction, and Glenn would be like, here we go again. Let me just keep this boy alive. I think he really loves Jesus. Let's keep him alive. And he's got to learn how to talk to people better than this. Because there's a part of the thing that I was very black and white. I'm still pretty black and white. But there were some things that I didn't have. I didn't have some areas of skill. So when I had a guy mocking us and make fun of us at church, I was like, okay, that's it. Let's go outside. He's like, what? I said, I'm going to knock your head off. What? I said, yeah, and everybody in town is going to know the preacher beat you up today. I said, I had enough of your mouth. He's like, whoa. Got scared, you know. I did that to another guy. We go up in North Dakota. We go and see him, and he runs a mission in Grand Forks now. Serving Jesus. He's in love with Jesus. But our first conversation, I was going to beat him up in front of about 25 people. I had enough of him mocking God. That's all I had. Okay, I didn't have the turn another cheek thing. It wasn't really operating all the way at that time, you know. And just there was something about it. But when I was in that place and I was doing what I was, there was an anointing that showed, and it showed up. There's another friend I had that he gave his heart to the Lord because he began to make fun of me being a preacher. And he said, brother prophet, prophesy. And I got mad. I didn't have any really good tools. And I'm like, I'll prophesy. So when you die, you're going to see the flames of hell are the first things you're going to, and I begin to do it. And he's like, ah! Maybe he was scared to death. The crowd of people are like, we're out of here. They begin to disperse. A week later, he wanted to spend time with me and gave his heart to Jesus because he needed to know Jesus. What happened? Listen, it wasn't about all my great skill. Thank God it's not about our skill. God will work with you even though you're limited if you'll just trust him. If you will trust him and say, God, I'm after you with my whole heart, everything I can do. And listen, you will always be growing. You will always be changing. Your whole heart today will look different, a whole heart next year, because he'll begin to work you through that renovating process, that transforming process. But somewhere where I'm going to follow Jesus with everything I have, when you begin to do that, he'll use stupid, dumb things that you do at times that should never work. And he'll say, well, it shouldn't work. It was wrong, but I am going to make it right. This is what that verse means. It was very unpleasant and rude, but I'm going to make it right and pleasant. He should have got beat up, but instead I'm going to let him prosper. Oh, ain't God good? I want us to understand what trusting God looks like, because I think a lot of times we don't. When we begin to trust him, he makes. When I begin to look to God, he begins to take my mistakes and my limitations. If I have a bad doctrine, it don't matter. God ain't worried about us having a bad doctrine at times. He's worried about, where's your heart? Are you really trusting him? If you're trusting him, you'll get there. If you're trusting him, you'll get there. If we have the right heart. I still like to catch up with our one old friend as we head up north, that the first person he led to the Lord, he was so excited, he didn't know how to do it. So he just had the guy say, put your hand on the Bible and repeat after me, I pledge allegiance to Jesus. That's all he had. The guy that was an evangelist and a half. But he was just starting. He didn't have nothing. But did God work? Yes, he did. And that man got saved doing the pledge of allegiance to Jesus just as well as he did anything else. Why? Because it's not about this, our wisdom. Listen, our wisdom said it has to be just perfect. My experience has to be just right. And here's what happens. When you begin to trust God, God will show up at times and he'll blow your experience, he'll blow your thinking, and he'll take you outside of what you know into a place that's foreign to you. And then in that place, you begin to say, he's God. I don't really know, but he's God. That's who he is. See, trusting God isn't a weak concept. Trusting God is powerful. If we begin to step into trusting him, amen? Listen, there's just such a realness to this trust. It'll change us. It'll change everything about us. Listen, we'll never earn God's blessing by our own righteousness. We are righteous because we trust him. I'm always working on things. I'm kind of like that big old house that we live in. I can work on that till I die, but we're going to be selling it. I'll always be working on myself because I want to make sure I'm always being reverent and bringing honor to God. I don't want to do anything that's not. But understand, it's not about how righteous you can get yourself. It's about trusting him. It's about not how righteous you are. It's about saying, when God says, hey, that person needs Jesus. It ain't about you finding some great gospel tract to lead them through. It's just stepping out and trusting. I trust God. I love it when God points people out to me. I love it. He'll point someone out to me, usually who's not saved. And a lot of people don't think they can get saved. And he'll point someone out to me and he'll say, that's your friend. And I'm like, woohoo, all right. And I'll find ways to get to know them. Why? Because I know what's coming is they're going to know the Lord. And they'll be my friend. He's done that all through my life. I love doing that. Why? And here's what it is. It's not about me finding some special way of doing it. I just started finding things to do. God, you have your way. You lead. You open the door. I'm just following you. What do you want to do? I've led people to the Lord killing deer. Think about that. And geese. Some people who are against that stuff, it might make your skin crawl. I'm telling you, Jesus was with me every step of the way. There's a preacher now in Fort Totten that it started out, we started out as friends in the field shooting things. And he was mad when he found out I was a preacher. Because he said, it's too late, you're already my friend. If I knew he's a preacher, I'd never talk to you. But we were having so much fun killing stuff and running through the brush and all the craziness that happened that he wasn't willing to let the friendship go even though I was a preacher. Now he's saved. Loves Jesus. Isn't what our life should be is that, listen, that foundation of trusting is something we should stand on in everything we do. Every part. Listen, this isn't just something we do as part of knowing him. This is knowing him. This is walking with him. And in spite of my shortcoming, God's will work. He will have his way. I've seen it over and over again. And the next one is trusting him is staying humble. In Proverbs 3:7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. I find it interesting how when you walk through the scriptures, and this is why I like doing that, is many times he'll bring you to the same point again. Usually it's because you need to hear it again. Because what happens is I know guys who have threatened to beat someone up and they've gotten saved. And they wrote a book about how to get someone saved by threatening to beat them up. And that becomes their ministry. That's kind of foolish, by the way. God won't let me do that no more, I don't think. We'll see what happens. I'll have more opportunity probably going up there to run into some hard stuff like that than I will anywhere. So we'll see what happens. But God don't need me to do that. God's God. God can do anything he wants to do. Amen? And we got to be careful that when God does show up and use us, that we don't get all proud again and begin to say, hey, I found a way to do it. Because it's part of our human nature that when we have success, that we hang on to some of these ways of success. And sometimes we're hanging on to a formula instead of just trusting God. The ABCs of salvation, ABC. Here's the truth about salvation. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Just believe it. It's about walking into a relationship. Say the Pledge of Allegiance on the Bible. It's about your heart and Him. I'm telling, there's something we have to get to that we need to understand. As we begin to do the 10 steps of discipleship, the 15 steps of what a leader should look like, and so there's some truth to those things, but we've got to be careful because there has to be somewhere in the middle of that mix where it's about, God, what are you saying? How should I do this? What should we do? And God will say, well, do this. And we'll say, well, that's really different. And God said, well, good. I was hoping to get outside of you. I was hoping to get past you. I was really hoping to be God in this moment. Sometimes God doesn't get to be God because we're too busy stuck on our formulas. And somewhere we got to humble ourselves again, and we got to get back in that place. We read that verse there. It says, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Listen, as we begin to grow in Him, we need to make sure that we continue to fear the Lord. We continue to go against, and how it says in there, we depart from evil. We got to make sure that we stay in that place. God, am I hearing you today? God, am I excited about you? Do I hope in you? Is that trust in me? Is it bold? Does it have hope? Is it carefree? Is it running and walking in you today? Or was it when I was saved, but now I'm pretty much set because I already know how to live as a Christian? Well, we got to be careful on that. Trusting God is about staying humble. I'm only saved by grace. Hey, here, the crazy stuff. Now, I've shared that a while back, but I had a conversation with God, and it's kind of humbling because sometimes we think it's about what we can do, and it's not. It's more about submitting than it is about what we can do. And he was talking to me about stuff in North Dakota, and I was watching things, and I had some dreams and had him say some things, and I'm watching things happen, and so some of that I've been really pretty besides myself watching it, pretty amazed. And I asked God, I said, why would you even send us? We have not done anything so spectacular that you're just moving like this. I've done nothing to earn this. And then God said, well, yeah. And he just began to talk to me like a son. He said, Damon, it's never been about you. It's been about me. In North Dakota, it's about me. It ain't about you. He said, were you saved because of you? I was like, no, I was saved because of you. He said, that's right. He said, why should it change? What about if you walk with me and I do things because of who I am instead of who you are? I'm like, well, then you'd be God. That's an amazing concept. How about that? It wouldn't be Damon. It'd be God doing something, and I could just be part of the ride. See, sometimes we get caught up and we think we're something. Oh, I know what to do here. Here's what I know is as I go up there, I'm trusting Him. I really don't care what it looks like. I just want it to look like Him. I don't care if they finish that building and give it to us. I don't care if they don't. I don't care if some of these things come, because here's what I know is that the Lord again and again says, behold, I'm opening a door and I'm coming. And I can see souls and I can see people's lives and I can see things and I can say, God, however you want to do this, I'm along for the ride. I'll trust you. And He says, well, then you're moving. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and you have to wrestle a little bit, come back to, well, I trust you. Well, you might be separate from people you love. I'm like, oh man, that kind of hurts too, but God, I trust you. You know, there's parts of us where, honestly, when you make a move like that, not everybody does that, and not everybody understands that really either, is there's a process you go through where you grieve. And you grieve when you're with a church and you're part of a church body and you leave to do something else, you grieve. I do more of my emotional grieving by myself, okay? I try to stay in the trust and faith place. I try to get back there as soon as I can. Why? Because I hate that other place, honestly. But you grieve because you begin to say, man, God, you're doing some good things and all the things you've done. And it's like, as I look at God, I know I can trust Him. I don't have to be here. Jackie doesn't have to be here. Why? Because Jesus is here. He's inside of you. He's working. He's having His way. I can trust Him. There's some family members that won't be with us, and that breaks my heart at times, but I trust Him. Why? Because I know he's faithful. Every time I look at him, I see him being faithful every time. Every time I begin to look and see what he's doing, I see God has never failed. He's never not been faithful. He's never not kept me and made my path straight. He's always done those things. And so as I look at him, I'm like, okay, I will trust you in this because I can see you. I trust you because you're God. Do I know how it's all going to work? No, and I'm not foolish enough to put anything on it saying how it will. It saves me backing up later and saying, I miss God once again. You know, I hate that. Anybody do that? You really proclaim something and it don't happen? Oh, man. Here's the thing. All I got to do is proclaim God is in it and he's going to do it. And I'm telling you, however it looks there a year or two down the road for us, I want God to be in it and I want it to look like God. I want people to know what it is on that reservation to trust in God. To know him. Amen? There's something powerful about that. And then again, it happens again. This is kind of a cycle. When we continue to stay humble, he refreshes us by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 8, verse 3, verse 8 on chapter 3. There you go. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. There's something about trusting God that again and again, you will come into times of humbling yourself, acknowledging him, trusting him. And you know what happens when you do that? You'll be refreshed again. And then you'll come into, listen, this is what trusting him is. Trusting him isn't that I'm just living on this mountaintop. It's like I trust him. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I trust him. Why? Because I know you're with me. And there's something about that when you begin to get in that place and say, oh God, you're with me. Though people want me dead, you're with me. Though people are having problems, you're with me. You're God. And what happens is that there's on the other end of that valley is another mountaintop where you can see everything and it's like, oh, God is good. And you can stand on the testimony of what he's done. But then you go through it again, and there's a place where I've got to come to that deal again. Am I looking at God for my answer? Is he the one walking me through this? If he's walking me through this, then I choose to trust him again. I'm looking at him. I trust him again, and he refreshes me again. I trust him again. He refreshes me again over and over. Listen, God, that song we sang today, you're a good, good father is who you are. And the truth is, here's the truth. I love that song because it says, you're a good, good father. That's just who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. Trusting him is that I'm just looking to him as a good father, and you know what he does? He loves me and blesses me. It's just who he is. Amen? I'm going to have Glenn